The following program is a presentation of the Flypod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
Once again, you're listening to the Woodshed Music Program, and once again, I'm your host, Gary Puckett. We're coming to you exclusively through the new media program feeds of www.theflypod.com. Welcome to all of our new MP3 and iPod subscribers. We're glad to have you aboard. We are your source for local world time-shifted MP3 audio podcasts. We are knee-deep into the new media evolution. I'm going to start out the show slightly different today. I want to begin by playing the title track of the latest CD of our guest group, a song called A Mountain Apart. This is just a warm-up. The real exercise comes a little later. We'll be right back.
Story about being free. We're alone here on this mountain.
That was a little song called A Mountain Apart. In fact, it's the title track for the latest CD for a very diverse and talented group of musical artists. They call themselves the Biscuit Burners. With me today as the spokesperson for the group is John Stickley. Among other roles, he is the group's mandolin player. John, welcome to the Woodshed Music Program.
Thanks, Gary. Great to be here.
Everyone in your band seems to be an exceptionally talented and solid player and or vocalist, and your music has such an accentuated acoustical quality, but how would you guys describe the Biscuit Burners' musical style?
Well, from the beginning, I haven't actually been in the band since the very beginning, but the story goes, they had a hard time. First, they called it bluegrass. That didn't really do the trick. We figured it had some mountain music elements, like a clawhammer banjo, and the girls kind of sing in almost like an Appalachian mountain style. So they ended up calling it fiery mountain music, and that's what they've kind of coined the genre.
So that's what stuck.
Yeah, that one stuck.
Okay. Now, your group consists of five members. Tell me about the training each of you has had, both formally and informally.
I mean, every person comes from a different musical background. I grew up actually in church, did a lot of choir singing, and that's where I learned a lot about singing harmony. And musically, though, I was kind of informally schooled, playing in a bunch of rock and roll bands and stuff like that. And then maybe about 5 or 6 years ago, I got into the bluegrass thing, and fortunately, in the bluegrass world, everything is so accessible that you can talk to your heroes if you want to. Just go to a festival and ask them to watch you play for a while, and they can give you suggestions or anything. Everyone's really easy to meet, and I've just learned a lot that way, picking with different people. And Shannon and Mary are kind of just self-taught songwriters. They've learned a lot from their families just over time. It's kind of a social thing, playing music. And Bill, the dobro player in the band, he's been schooled since he was a little child in musical theory, the piano, and composing. And then he got into the bluegrass thing, and he's helped everyone else kind of understand the whole theory behind everything.
Sure. He's the technical guy.
He is the technical guy, and he's a great guy to have around. It's really easy to learn from, and really opened my world as far as, trying to create new sounds on an instrument.
Well, you're being pretty humble there, because I understand that you're quite the mandolin player.
Thank you.
At what age did you know music was your thing?
I'm still not quite sure if it is or not.
Okay, that's fair.
I guess pretty early age, I really fell in love with it. And I was, singing in church, and I was in a boys' choir singing, and a lot of people that were in those groups, their parents made them go or something, but I always, from the beginning, I just really loved it. And so all through college, I never studied music, but what I did every weekend.
Well, there's no substitute for just flat out doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
I was reading the producer's notes printed on the CD jewel case insert with your CD, and I was taken by the fact that this latest CD album for the group, A Mountain Apart, was actually recorded in a bedroom. Is that true?
That is, and we actually just finished up a third project, also recorded in the bedroom.
That sounds a little odd when you put it that way, but tell me, how do you go about accomplishing a quality set of tracks in that type of a setting? It's not exactly a pure studio,
A lot of that is Bill. He's an incredible producer and wonderful recording engineer and has a home studio. Just the best sounding room happens to be the bedroom. And they've got a nice arched ceiling, and do stuff like, put up a mattress or hang a sheet to kind of get some separation on instruments if we need to.
Sure.
It's the most relaxed place we could have picked to record, and we always cook up a lot of food and have friends over and jam, so it's always a lot of fun.
Oh, I understand. It sounds like a great time.
It also, there is a downside. You can kind of, since you're not paying to be in a studio or something, you can kind of, projects tend to drag on maybe a little bit longer, and you can maybe strive a little bit for perfection, so you just have to tell yourself, this is good enough, and it sounds great, and we're just going to move along.
You're going to go with it.
Yeah.
Well, the text on your CD insert also makes a direct point of letting the listener know exactly what make and model instrument each band member is playing on the CD tracks. Can you tell me why the group felt this was a needed detail, or was it just meant to be unique and informational at the same time?
A lot of it is paying tribute kind of to the builders of the instruments. I mean, there's so many incredible builders out there, and Bill and now Dan both have custom-made instruments made just for them. Bill plays a Shearhorn resophonic guitar. They're just incredible instruments, and I think one of the main things is just saying, you know, thanks for building me such a great instrument, and, you know, this is what you're hearing on the CD. And with Dan, he now plays Rock Bridge guitars. We just always make a point, even at the shows and everything, to let everybody know that's what they're hearing.
Well, it's a nice way to pay tribute to the builders. It really is.
Definitely, and they do some just amazing things where, you know, make our lives really wonderful.
Well, they make you sound good. I mean, you know, it's talent, but it's also the tools.
It is, man.
I want to break here and play another one of your tracks from your group CD. This song is called Harriet's Flog. I promise, I'll be right back. Thank you. that was Harriet Flog. That's a great tune. I really like that. How many days a year would you say the group is on the road?
We're on the road. I think we played almost 150 dates last year. We spend a good amount of time on the road. The period we're in now is the busiest time, the summer.
The summer, yeah.
We pretty much spend the whole summer on the road, and then it starts taper off into the winter, and then we use the winter for like December, January, usually for recording.
To do the other side of the work, sure.
Yep, and planning, and then it picks up again, you know, in March.
Cycles, you know, over again.
It really cycles over, and the more popular the band gets, the more time we spend away.
How many shows a week does that typically translate into for you?
Definitely varies, but we just wrapped up this tour going up to Vermont and New York. See, I'm looking at this calendar here. We did 5 shows the week of July 3rd, you know, July 4th week.
When you travel, are you driving, flying, or what's your transportation mode?
Well, we have just gotten our bus running again. So we have an 89 Eagle full-size motor coach that we travel in.
That allows you to sleep in there too then, huh?
That is definitely the best part about it. We were fortunate enough to have a driver on this last trip. We normally share the driving, but the driver, man, was just a dream come true. When you can finish a gig and just hop right in the bus, go to sleep and wake up in the next town, you know, 8 hours away.
Oh, yeah, a lot more fresh.
That's really incredible.
Well, how old are you guys in terms of the group? What do your ages range?
I'm the youngest. I'm 24. And we range all the way up to 31.
You guys are a young group. Now, you're based out of North Carolina, which historically truly has been a hotbed of bluegrass and country talent going way back, of course. Would you say that that is still somewhat the case today?
Yeah, definitely. There's a million other wonderful musical places in the country and in the world, and each place we go, we meet a lot of great pickers, but there's really nowhere like North Carolina, Tennessee, Kentucky, as far as bluegrass goes. I feel so lucky to have just happened to live here. Like I said, it's just so accessible. My neighbor's an incredible musician. I just met him, you know, back in September. Just incredible songwriter, and you just meet more and more every day in Asheville.
Plus beautiful country.
Yeah, it's very beautiful.
Beautiful down here. Well, you mentioned, hinted a little bit earlier, but do the Biscuit Burners have any new CDs or videos that we can look for in the future?
As far as videos, we haven't really gotten into that yet. We hope to in the future, but we do have a new album coming out. Well, we're in the finishing stages of it now.
When do you project? How many more months do you think?
I'm going to guess December, and that's been pushed back a couple times already, but this album is actually going to have some electric instrumentation and some drumming. Which
it's a little bit of a switch for you guys, isn't it?
It is, yeah, and it was kind of a dream that Bill and his good friend Ethan had, and Ethan is just one of the best. He's studying, you know, jazz out at CalArts, and so he came out for 2 weeks over the winter, and we just collaborated on some things, and Bill played his electric dobro, and I played a little electric guitar, but a lot of mandolin, and Dan played acoustic guitar, so it's got kind of the Norah Jones, the songwriter vibe. It's just really nice sounding. We're not changing the band, but we just decided to do this project as a fun little change.
Oh, yeah, change is good. Yeah, it's like a roast beef sandwich, eh? Change is good. Well, what do you think of MP3 downloadables and the entire new media frontier as it relates to music and the impact that promises to have? What's your take on that?
So far for us, it has been really incredible. As far as exposure, I think it's just a positive thing. I mean, I haven't really researched it. We've had people coming up to us at every show, you know, saying, you know, the only reason we're here is we got you on iTunes. You know, we just randomly found you. Or a huge thing for us has been XM Radio. That has been big. And then exposure all over the world as opposed to a couple stores and, you know, regional.
You know, the podcast industry in itself continues to grow. Last year, there were over 5 million downloaders and listeners, you know, and it continues to grow. It's anticipated that by 2008, it'll be 25 million. I mean, this is a pretty substantial audience that we have growing out there, and I'm sure that this little interview and podcast will help you in the exposure end. John, I'm just going to open up the microphone and ask you this. Do you have any comments that you would like to convey to your huge, and I would add, growing national fan base? I'll just give you the microphone.
Well, just like to tell everybody thank you so much for coming out and supporting us, and it's just so nice to actually get to be out on the road and meeting everybody. And since each show, we meet some of the most amazing people. We just have been taken care of so well by everyone we've met so far, and we just look forward to getting out there and seeing everybody else, answering all those emails we get, you know, just being out there in the world and meeting everybody.
I know you just completed a major tour that took you guys literally coast to coast, but where is your next big show?
The next big show, well, we've got this weekend, we're doing a couple festivals here in town.
They'll probably get a pretty good turnout for that, though, don't they?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Come from all the outlying counties and so forth?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going over to Boone for a nice festival called Sugar Grove, and then we're going to do a gig at the Soa Valley Center in Robbinsville, North Carolina, which is just down the street.
Kind of nice to be near home, isn't it?
It sure is, man. To be able to spend the weeks in between, you know, just at home with my dog and stuff.
Yeah. Well, John, I'd like to thank you for coming on the Woodshed Music Program today. And please tell the other band members that all of us at theflypod.com say hello, and we wish you continued success.
I sure will. Thank you so much.
We worked with Joe Dendy, your publicist, and he put all this together for us. And when you see Joe, tell him I sent along a special thank you for doing all the behind-the-scenes effort to get this all organized.
I sure will.
For more information about John and the entire group, The Biscuit Burners, visit their website at www.thebiscuitburners.com. To close the program out today, I'm going to play a song that's meaningful in the memory of one of your band members, Dan Bletz. It's a song titled Pinchtown Hop. Until next time, this is your host, Gary Puckett, for the Woodshed Music Program, coming free and clear to your iPod or MP3 player through our new media program feeds on www.theflypod.com. If you don't know how to subscribe, go to our website, select the section titled Using Our Website, and we will iPotty train you. Now, to take us out, here's Pinchtown Hop, performed by the Biscuit Burners. Listeners, I recommend that you sit down and hang on to something. Thanks for listening. Hasta luego.